Sports Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Hello, Faster My. Good afternoon, 5 o'clock on Friday the 17th of April. I'm Christian Jones and welcome to the final ever update. 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom. On the way, the MHK behind assisted dying is disappointed the UK government blocked a move to grant it royal assent in its current form. Appeal commissioners have met for the first time since a row broke out last month. And Amazon MGM Studios will be on the island soon, filming for an upcoming TT movie. As always, drop me a message if you want to say hello. You can text or WhatsApp to 166 177 or email me at studio@manxradio.com. But first, as always, let's get the latest news headlines with Amy Griffiths. Faster My, Amy.
Faster My. It's hoped amendments to address the UK Ministry of Justice's concerns with the island's assisted dying bill will be ready to be debated in the next few weeks. Ramsey MHK Alex Annenson, who brought forward the legislation, has confirmed work's already underway to draft changes that would tackle the issues raised by the UK government. Dr. Annenson is confident the changes will improve the bill.
I think this will make the bill stronger. It will make the bill a lot clearer for everyone involved. This is a safe way of introducing assisted dying.
The Chair of Peel Commissioners has confirmed that a formal employment matter is being conducted and a member of staff is being investigated. Ray Harmer read out a statement at last night's meeting after a board member claimed the local authority had issues with poor governance, accountability and transparency. Mr. Harmer said until the process has been completed, he'll not be commenting on the matter.
That needs to be a thorough external investigation, so it has to be done in order and correctly and properly. And obviously, until the conclusion of that, I can't really report exactly what that's about.
Former island resident and Radio 1 DJ Andy Kershaw has died of cancer aged 66. He lived in Peel for a number of years, where he also volunteered for the town's lifeboat crew. Production of a new film inspired by the TT races will get underway at this year's event. Channing Tatum and Eve Hewson are attached to the feature, which is called Isle of Man, with Reed Carolyn directing. Turning to international news now, and a sex offender's been found guilty of raping a young mother in Greater Manchester, for which an innocent man spent 17 years in jail. Andrew Malkinson was wrongly picked out at an identity parade following the attack in Salford in 2003, which Paul Quinn, who's 52 and from Exeter, has now been convicted of. Iran's foreign ministers declared the Strait of Hormuz completely open while ceasefires last. Donald Trump claims Tehran will keep the vital shipping channel running permanently, saying it will no longer be used as a weapon against the world. And Keir Starmer says he's furious he wasn't told Peter Mandelson failed the vetting process to become US ambassador. Tory leader Kemi Badenoch accused the PM of incompetence. Those are your headlines. I'll be back with the news in full at 6.
Amy, thank you very much. Gurumayad, let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Mostly dry for the rest of the day, only a small risk of an odd shower. Continuing dry for much of the night, clear intervals, and then it'll turn cloudy later on in the night. A few showers arriving towards dawn. Minimum temperature overnight of 7 degrees Celsius.
If you're looking for supply-only double or triple glazed units, make sure you visit the Manx Glass and Glazing showroom on the Stugbrough Trading Estate, or call 674-573. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
4 minutes past five on Manx Radio's update. The MHK behind the island's assisted dying bill admits he's disappointed the UK's Ministry of Justice has said it's currently unable to recommend the legislation for royal assent. The UK government sent a letter to the Isle of Man government this week, raising concerns that the bill may not comply with the European Convention on Human Rights. Ramsey MHK Alex Allenson has confirmed to Manx Radio that he's already spoken to drafters and work to bring forward amendments is underway. He's been speaking with Sean Cowper.
Obviously, I'm disappointed. We've been working quite closely with them over the last year since the bill was subject to extensive debate and passed through Tynwald. What they've come back with is some questions which were answered by the Department for Health and Social Care. What they've actually said in their letter that was received by government this week is that they'd like some of the reassurances, guidelines and safety features of the bill, rather than being in secondary legislation, being in primary legislation, to be quite blatant in the bill as it's written. And because of that, they're unable to give royal assent to this time. So my job now as mover of the bill is to go back to the drafters, draft some amendments to bring those safeguards forward, to make the bill quite clearer and probably stronger in terms of safeguarding particularly vulnerable adults, safeguarding against possible coercion, so that that can then be brought back to Tim Wolfe for further debate and hopefully approval.
The issues that the Ministry of Justice has picked up on, safeguarding capacity, monitoring as well, these are all issues that came up during the debates last year. Could this not have been included in the legislation?
Well, actually, you're quite right that they were part of the debates. We had a lot of amendments coming in which dealt with exactly these issues in terms of safeguarding what perhaps could be seen as vulnerable adults, in terms of monitoring the process, in terms of the independence of that monitoring. And those have already been incorporated into the bill. What the Ministry of Justice have suggested is that we make these far more explicit in the primary legislation. And I have to accept that if I want to carry on and make sure that this bill becomes operational. So I will be working with Tim Wolfe members to try to satisfy the Ministry of Justice, try to satisfy His Majesty that we have the best bill possible going forward.
And that's Ramsey MHK, Alex Allenson. Now, the first Peel Town Commissioners meeting was held last night. Since a row began between one of the board members and the local authority, you may remember this, Katrina Baptist posted a video alleging poor governance, transparency and accountability at the end of March. In particular, what she's described as inaccurate minutes relating to a vote on a proposed beach stage. This led to a statement from the commissioners, which said Ms. Baptist will be the subject of an internal investigation and that there was no vote, followed by a second statement confirming that there was, in fact, what they describe as an informal vote. Well, our local democracy reporter Emma Draper was there in what was a standing room only affair, and she spoke with Ms. Baptist.
I just felt really encouraged. It was lovely to see all those Peel ratepayers come in and taking an interest in local politics. I hope that they come again, because it's in this boardroom we make decisions that affect everybody, and there's lots of things that are really topical. So I would encourage more people to come, and maybe we need to buy some more chairs, and that would be great. And hopefully my aim is that we can get some young people into politics, and we can have a more representative board that are in there, some younger people and maybe some people that are working, all different demographics that reflect the community that we live in.
And you did raise just at the end of the meeting there that you felt a bit unsafe without the DOI minister in the meeting. Would you just be able to explain that just a little bit further for me?
Yeah, I've learned quite a lot over the last few weeks, as I'm sure you can probably imagine, since doing that video. And I've learned that elected members aren't covered by bullying and harassment legislation the same as an employee. So if I was in a workplace and I had an employer, I'd be able to have somebody with me in the meetings to make sure that it was fair. But we're not afforded the same experience as an elected member. So I'm forced to be in this room and it's behind closed doors. And essentially anything can be recorded or minuted. And I don't really have a say in it. So that's what I meant by that.
How have you been feeling these last few weeks? I imagine you've been quite overwhelmed and quite stressed. So how have you managed to combat that and come to the meeting tonight? Which I imagine what is quite an overwhelming situation.
Yeah, I felt really daunted about coming tonight. I felt really nervous. All I tried to do is to tell the ratepayers why things weren't being delivered. That's all I wanted to do, is to tell the people of Peel, and it really blew up. And then Peel Town Commissioners thought it was appropriate to get some solicitors in. So I felt a little fearful, to be honest. But I know that those people voted for me to deliver a mandate. So I thought, I've got to come. I can't just quit, because then I don't achieve anything. So I just felt so encouraged when I came along, and there were all these people here. And they clearly care the same as I do. And we all just want to get stuff done, you know, and get good value for money for the ratepayers. So thank you to everybody that came tonight.
Well, that's Peel Town Commissioner Katrina Baptist speaking there. Well, the Chair of Peel Commissioners has confirmed that a formal employment matter is being conducted and a member of staff is being investigated. Ray Harmer read out a statement at the Commissioners' meeting last night which asked residents to respect the confidentiality of the process. He also said until the process has been completed, he won't be commenting further on the matter.
I know it's hard and it feels very formal. It may seem quite harsh, but when you actually have to put money aside, that has to be done properly and formally. Another issue that's come out is really about things that have been in committee and things that have been said. They can't then be brought up as new business items on the agenda. You've already had that opportunity. What I can say is that we have been looking since November at all of the standing orders to see what needs to change. So you have to do it as a whole. You can't sort of piecemeal and pick it. And that's the board resolution. So everything we do is done as a board. And it's really important to understand that we work as a collective, as a team, and that's been the bit that's really been difficult. I have to personally say some of the things have been quite heartbreaking, and I really think that it's really important to be constructive and positive. So that's really where I'm coming from.
But would you say the board has been supportive and constructive towards the situation with Katrina? I mean, she did ask this evening if she could have the DOI minister with her in committee, and you all turned around and refused no. Would you say that's supportive and constructive with her situation?
I think until you know the full situation and the matter that I'm talking about, and then there's all the facts, it's very difficult to actually answer that question, because some of what I'm talking about is regarding employment issues and all those kind of things that are totally confidential that I can't.
But she's not an employee.
So why
would you not allow her the opportunity to have the DOI minister?
No, when we speak to DOI and when we have the DOI minister, it's to speak about DOI issues. We've got some other confidential issues regarding other things that happen in really important things in the town. It's not the case that we invite people to supervise a meeting. As I say, I think it's really important to be positive. It's difficult for me to explain all the things because I'm bound by the external investigation and confidentiality. So that's probably as far as I can go really on this.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
12 minutes past five, you may have heard yesterday that an appeal against plans for a new statue of King Orion St John's has been dismissed. It means it can go ahead, subject to conditions, and be installed adjacent to Timwald Hill. Well, it stands just under 3 metres tall, 1.8 metres wide, and it's the illuminated statue of Godred Crovan with his arm outstretched. That's going to be placed on a nearby verge in recognition of the Norse origins of the Isle of Man's Parliament. Well, those in charge of bringing this sculpture to life are artists Darren Jackson and Stephanie Quayle Jackson, who are behind other well-known works, such as the Heron in Castletown.
We wanted to create Godred Crovan first and foremost, so we studied lots of books, there's lots of writings. The Manx Museum have been fantastic with their help, and Vikings of Man lent us all their reenactment kit so that we could actually put it on and feel what it feels like to wear this kit, which they were physical feet in
so
itself.
You get
just
into
to wear.
The
yeah, exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
We went to the British Museum, didn't we, to see the Lewis Chessmen, and the museum library here have been fantastic as well. Culture of Annan, the open days. We sought as much and as varied sort of input as we could, and we looked at all the way he's been depicted so far, whether it's the House of Manannan or in paintings, or how he appears in a stone. There's a stone carving in Glenmore House, I think, and there's several other depictions, but they're also different, so obviously it's our interpretation.
So you knew historically what you were dealing with, and then you had to get the job of actually building the thing. What was the first step?
Well, I mean, the design, I suppose, is the first step, and then we'll build a maquette, so it's a small model of it, and then we scale that up, build a metal armature inside.
Was it left up to you how big the statue was?
When something's outside, it's good to build it a little bit bigger than life-size, because the outdoor environment shrinks something down. So he's about a life-size plus a quarter, which is a sort of standard way of oversizing to make it feel like it's substantial when it's outside.
Yeah, I mean, the aspect of, I mean, cost as well as a major factor, especially because it's bronze. Because, you know, the more bronze you use, the more expensive it is. And you don't want to be sort of massively scaled up. I mean, it does a lot of these sculptures do shrink visually, like the heron, say, that was built in the shed. And they're just like, oh, it's massive. And it was just like, oh, is this going to be too big? Is it going to overpower the landscape? And when we put it in the landscape, it was like, ah, it's not actually that big.
Well, I've got news for you, it is.
Well, yeah. It depends who's looking at it, I suppose. So this one was like, we're sort of trying to design it within the element of where it is to not overpower the landscape and to try and like incorporate within the sort of Timwell Tail and the church and, you know, the walls surrounding it.
Darren Jackson and Stephanie Quayle Jackson speaking to John Moss there. Well, this approval comes with some conditions, including that the development of the statue should begin within the next 4 years and not before an archaeological written scheme of investigation, a WSI, has been submitted to and approved by the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture. The plans have been submitted under the name of Lawrence Skelly. He's also the president of Timwald and he's been giving us his reaction.
I'd just like to say I'm absolutely delighted with the decision and the outcome by the independent inspector, which of course the minister has supported as well. So absolutely delighted with this news.
Do you think any of the concerns that were raised were valid, and will there be any that you take on board into the future of the project?
Yes, of course, they're definitely valid. But of course, there is a decision to be made. And the inspector, the planning committee did make a very clear, unanimous decision. And now the inspector has had an independent report concluded the same point. So yes, it is valid and they will be taken into consideration. And it's worth noting, whilst it's now approved, there are certain conditions that must be met. And those are quite stringent, those conditions. And of course, we are expected to adhere to them, which we will do.
Do we have a timeline yet for when we might see the finished product in place? I mean, am I right in thinking that it's 4 years that the planning approval has been given for?
Yes. So we have to do it within 4 years. Ideally, we'd like to see it sometime this year, if possible. But we would just take one step at a time. It's been quite a long journey to get to this particular juncture. So we're not making any promises at this particular moment. But hopefully we've completed some of the most difficult hurdles at this point.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
Well, let's take a look on the roads to begin with. The mountain road has partially reopened between Ramsey and the bungalow. However, the section from the bungalow to the Craigna Bar remains closed for now. Elsewhere in Douglas, at the bottom end of Murray's Road, that's closed for emergency gas main repairs. Over in Braddon, temporary lights on Braddon Road, of course, just up from Braddon Bridge. In Braid, temporary lights on the Foxdale Road to the west of Braid Crossroads for ditching works, and in St Mark's, temporary lights on the Bride Road at the junction with Garth Road 24 hours a day for water main replacement work. Of course, a reminder that the Old Castletown Road will be closed again tomorrow and Sunday at the bottom of Cuaig Hill as the wastewater upgrade work continues. Diversions will be in place though. Down at the Steampackenton Airport, no issues to report there, everything running to time.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside. Quayside, 664417. Head to Quayside Tyres and Service Centre on South Quay Industrial Estate. Quayside. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Now, after years of talk, filming for the upcoming TT movie is set to begin at this year's event. Isle of Man is part of a wider package picked up by Amazon MGM Studios, which includes a documentary and stars Channing Tatum, while MHK Sarah Maltby is responsible for motorsport and tourism and has been speaking with Darren Timpson.
It's really exciting that this TT will see the filming of the Isle of Man film come to a beginning, and I'm really pleased that we're finally able to kind of make those announcements and start that communication out to residents on the island. The TT race is obviously, we know, is globally recognised, but there's more to the island than just the TT, and I think this film being shot during the period of time where the racing is going on, and there's obviously a great atmosphere and buzz around the Isle of Man, we will give the opportunity to see more of the island. So the fantastic views and, you know, beautiful landscape that we do have on the island, I think that will really will show in a film such as this. And I think it's a great opportunity for the Isle of Man. I mean, the fact the film is called Isle of Man is really an opportunity that's great great for the Isle of Man for during the whole of the year and not just at TT, which is something that I hope that tourists will find interesting and want to look more up about the island.
You mentioned there that we'll have some of the scenery of the Isle of Man. Do you think there'll be a touch of island life in the film as well?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no way you could not film during this event and not really get a good feel about the character of the island and the identity that we all value so much. I mean, the TT really is in our DNA, and I'm almost sure that that will come across when the film is released and you'll actually get a real good feeling of that. So it's a really good opportunity. I really hope that people, you know, understand the complexity that come along with this kind of production. However, it's all been managed really well, and ultimately the most important priority is the delivery of the event, and that will be and will always be the absolute priority. This is just something alongside of the event that we will definitely communicate better along this journey as we get to the filming, and far more information will come out as we go along. But let's look forward to a really great TT 2026, and the future really is really very exciting.
MHK, Sarah Maltby there. Well, let's turn our attention to the world of sport, and FC Isle of Man's caretaker manager says he's proud of his players and the club's efforts this season as they prepare for their final game of the NWCFL Premier Division campaign tomorrow. Ahead of the Ravens' trip to Padiham on Saturday afternoon, Rick Holden admits it's been a challenging season and a tough run of recent results.
Well, the last few weeks have been bitty and difficult to get a consistent side together. The results, I mean, the lads have worked hard enough and they've played good enough football at times, but it's just, I think it's that, you know, bit too far type of feeling. And because we got safe a few weeks ago as well, it's just been a bit disappointing.
For the past couple of weeks, you're not troubled by what's going on at the bottom, but you're not challenging toward the top this season. How do you go about keeping that mentality and that physicality at that level?
It's difficult. You just have to say to them, you know, what's the point of coming all this way if you're not going to put a shift in? And I mean, the last game they did really well against Barnoles. You end up with the players and think, well, with these players, what system can I do? Not the other way around. What system do I want to play? And all the players available. So lack of availability makes you have to get a system to fit. And they did really well. It was 0-0. Should have been out of sight with two or three chances. And then you think, half-time, saying, right, come on, another 45 minutes. And you can see they want to do it. Go out there, played well again for the first few 10 minutes or so. But then a couple of mistakes, they score, and you can see we're just like, get us out of here type mentality happening, even though they were still ran and ran and ran. And you can say, well, you know, that performance wouldn't be the same if it was like third or fourth game in, or you were going for, you know, promotion or something. So it has petered out, unfortunately. But we've got one more game left now, see if we can do something.
Looking ahead generally, whatever happens over the summer with yourself and with the club, what's it going to take to get FC Isle of Man to progress?
Well, there's a long-term and short-term answer to it. Long term is you need your own home, you need your own training ground attached to that, because training is so important and it can't be just time constraint. The short term, you just hope you get enough players to commit to a season, avoided relegation. I'm very proud of it. I'm proud of the lads and everybody involved in the club and everyone that stuck by us to achieve that. Hopefully over the summer people see that as a close call and pull together.
Rick Holden, the FC Isle of Man caretaker manager, speaking there. You can listen to the full extended interview with him looking back on this season and his time in charge via the Manx Radio sportscast, available at manxradio.com. Now, two Isle of Man cricket youngsters are set to play on the European stage this month. Lucy Barnett and Cole Hartman will be part of the ICC Europe Women's, who've played today, and the men's under-23 teams respectively for multiple T20 fixtures against the world-famous Marylebone Cricket Club. Darren Timpson has been catching up with them.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting, really. Think about how many teams are in Europe and how many players to be one of the 14 selected out of thousands is really exciting. It's good exposure, I guess, to hopefully get my name out there a bit.
You're obviously going to be playing at Lords. What does that mean for you?
Well, a lot of people dream about playing at Lords. Like, it's one of the most iconic grounds in the world. To be able to hopefully step onto that pitch is a really exciting opportunity.
It's a really good opportunity for me. Like, there's a lot of players, like, all under 23, good sides across Europe, and then playing together against hopefully a very good MCC side. good experience for us to learn.
And I'm guessing it's some players you've maybe come across with before.
Yes, I've played against a few of them before. There's a few from Guernsey, Jersey sort of area I know of, from Spain as well. So I know a few of them.
And do you think this is a bit of a recognition for your abilities to take part in this, in these matches?
A little bit, yeah. It's been like a few years I've been in and around the Ireland squad, and so the hard work's clearly paid off to get to this point.
Sally Green is the community coach for Isle of Man Cricket. She spoke about the chance for Colin Lucy to play for combined European teams.
It's great for the Isle of Man to be recognised with two players in each squad. They are young, bright prospects who are doing really well, and it would be great to see them with other players from other countries against the MCC in some two beautiful cricket grounds.
And obviously they aren't the only two people going away. You'll be taking part in the coaching setup as well as part of the women's team. So what does that mean for you personally?
It's fantastic to be recognised. I mean, it was a real surprise when Esther from the ICC asked me if I'd like to be part of the coaching team, and it was a bit of a no-brainer. You're not going to turn it down, and fantastic. I've been to Lourdes a couple of times, but I've never actually been inside of Lourdes on the pitch in the long room, because afterwards we'll be having a meal with all the players. My dad will be coming with me. My dad is a cricketer himself, so that will be lovely to share that moment with my family, and we both have all got some spectators going as well. So yeah, it was great. I've been coaching a long time now. I'm getting on in years, and it's great. It's lovely to be recognised.
Get the full story. Tune in to Manx Radio's newscast for in-depth interviews behind the headlines. Find the newscast now at manxradio.com or your usual podcast provider.
Well, let's stay with sport, and we can bring you the latest brought to you by The Print Shed. Rob Pritchard joins me now. Fast Amai. Rob, what's the latest?
Fast Amai. Well, starting in football and heading into the tail end of the 25-26 Manx football season, two more cup competitions are set to get started in this weekend's latest local showdowns. The preliminary rounds of both the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup and Ascot Hotel Junior Cup dominate much of the schedule across Saturday, which will also see a sprinkling of league encounters. Among the seven Hospital Cup meetings, Ramsey will begin the defence of their back-to-back titles in this competition with a test against runaway Ardern and Drug Unlimited Division 2 leaders Colby. Whilst reigning Canada Life Men's Premier League champions Peel host this year's GH Corlett Woods Cup winners Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys. In one of the few league fixtures on Saturday, Douglas High School Old Boys will be relegated from the Canada Life Men's Premier League if they fail to beat Ayr United at Blackberry Lane. You can view a full schedule of all this weekend's Alabama football fixtures at manxradio.com. In rugby, after their highest league finish in 50 years, Douglas are still chasing their dream of promotion from Regional 2 Northwest this weekend. The Islanders are on the road tomorrow in the division's promotion playoffs at Lancaster Bay side Vale of Loon. During the regular season, both managed one victory over the other. Elsewhere, Vagabonds Ladies and Ramsey face their final home games of their respective seasons tomorrow. In the early kickoff, Ramsey hosts Congleton in Counties 3 ADM Lancashire and Cheshire's Minor Conference League at 12:30 p.m. at Morrow Park, whilst Vagabonds Ladies welcome Didsbury Tok H to Ballafleck on Saturday at 2 p.m. And in hockey, the Isle of Man women's over 45s hockey team will this weekend be looking to become the second national side this season to reach an England Hockey Championship final. The Manx side will head out on the road to face Surbiton at Surbiton Hockey Club in the semi-finals of the EH women's over 45s Vars on Sunday. Should they claim victory in 2 days' time, they'd become the second Ireland side to reach an EH Championship final this campaign after the Isle of Man Under-14 boys finished runners-up in the EH Under-14 boys Tier 2 knockout championships last week. Well, this weekend's game will get underway at Surbiton Hockey Club at 9:45 a.m. on Sunday.
Rob, thank you very much. Gurram Mayed. Well, that is it for Update, the end of an era. Thanks so much for listening over the years. Hold tight, a brand new show coming to Manx Radio from Monday. Rob Pritchard is back with you for Friday Sport Up next. Chris Kinley has greatest hits after that. I've been Christian Jones. You've been amazing as always. So until we speak again, take care. Bye-bye for now.